We look around us and things crumble. Our response as believers is to trust God because he is sovereign. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his throne in heaven.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
He has a word for you as we end the year and we start a new one. So with that, would you please just welcome him as he comes this morning?
Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be in Life Tabernacle again. And we, as he said, we were just here for Thanksgiving and had a few days after Christmas. And so we decided we'd drive down, got in last night. And it's always an honor to be here and to be able to worship the Lord with you, and especially an honor to be able to always be able to minister the Word of God. And on this last Sunday of 2025, the year has just flown by like every year does. Time just scoots on by, but God is good. Amen? Amen. And we're anticipating as we enter into a brand new year, 2026, that God is going to do tremendous things, and he's got a great plan for our lives. He's got a great plan for Life Tabernacle, and we're just trusting God for wonderful things. Amen? Amen. We appreciate Keaton up there on the keyboard. I was thinking as he was playing, wouldn't you just love to take him home and have him play dinner music and play when you're trying to go to sleep, you know? Amen. He's doing a good job. Can you give him a good hand? Wonderful worship today. Thankful for the presence of the Lord. I want to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalm in chapter 11. Chapter number 11. And of course, it's always good to be with our daughter Emily and our son-in-law Pastor Dallas and our four grandkids. We have seven in Michigan. We celebrated Christmas with all of them up in Michigan, and but we had a little Christmas last night with the girls, and well, the boys, they just kind of lay there and watched on, but they were cheering their sisters on. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the Son of Men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this, for your word today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this service today. We just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts for a few minutes today through your word. We love you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor today. In the name of Jesus," and everybody said, amen. I want to minister to you on this post-Christmas Sunday on this thought that God holds it all together. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say, "God holds it all together." And aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God holds it all together? And that's what I want to minister to you on today. But I'm sure that you're well aware that life is full of a lot of interruptions, and some we enjoy and some we do not enjoy. We have calendars on the wall. We have calendars on our desk. Women may carry a calendar in their purse, or a businessman one in his briefcase. Many now only have calendars on their phone nowadays. You don't need all that other because you got a calendar on your smartphone. And it reminds us of our appointments, reminds us of our meetings, reminds us of our to-do list, and inevitably, interruptions will change our day dramatically. We can have it all planned out perfectly, but an interruption can come, and sometimes those interruptions can change our lives. You know, just when you sell the crib, surprise, another baby. Amen. I guess Pastor Dallas, they didn't sell their crib, but anyway, they've got two more babies. And we don't enjoy most interruptions in our life. You know, how many enjoy commercials when you're watching your favorite television show? Of course, lots of times you can record and then fast forward through all those now. Or you're traveling across town, or you're traveling on a trip, and all of a sudden your car breaks down or your tire goes flat. Nobody enjoys that. Unexpected road construction, you know, when you're driving. Sleep interruptions. Is there anybody that says, yes, I enjoy sleep interruptions? I just enjoy my sleep getting interrupted. Phone interruptions when you're doing something, you're working, and the phone just keeps ringing and ringing. Or the doorbell rings just as you're watching your favorite football game, and it's the big play is happening, and all of a sudden, the doorbell rings. If you fly at all, you know, I'm sure that you've encountered travel and interruptions. And no matter how often that happens, it's never fun to get grounded in your plane because of a storm. But our lives are filled with interruptions. They happen to all of us. Some of them are natural interruptions. Some of them can be Satan-inflicted. Some of them can be God-ordained. But God's surprises in our day are full of opportunities. Amen? And let me suggest that we learn as we enter into a brand new year to welcome God's interruptions as a new to-do list from Him. You know, I remember a few years ago, I was getting ready to head out of town, and I needed a haircut, and so I went around the corner to Great Clips. You know, I had my coupon in my hand. Anybody use coupons out there? I had my coupon. And I went up to the door. It was packed, and I didn't have a lot of time. And it said on the door, cash only. Well, I didn't have any cash. I only had a debit card. And so I was a little frustrated. I looked across the street, and there is Supercuts. And the parking lot is empty. And I'd been to Supercuts, and I knew why the parking lot was empty. But I was in a hurry, so I thought I'm going to give Supercuts another chance. So I zoomed across into the parking lot at Supercuts, went into the shop, and there's one young lady working, and almost as soon as I walked in, the Holy Spirit arrested my attention. And I knew that I had a divine appointment that day at Supercuts with this young lady. And I got to share with her and talk with her and learn a little bit about her life. She even shed some tears and got to encourage her and share Christ with her that day. And I would have missed all of that had I had my way and got into Great Clips with my coupon and got my haircut that day. But some of the great advances in God's plan have come through interruptions to the normal routine of life, which brings to mind how Mary, the mother of Jesus, may have felt when her life was dramatically interrupted by the angel's announcement that she was going to give birth to Jesus. Mary's response in Luke chapter 1, verse 34 was, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" You know, we tend to have a Christmas card mentality about the Christmas story. We see Mary and Joseph, how precious they are, and the child Jesus, and we see the angels fluttering over them. But we miss the magnitude of just how disruptive God's interruptions were to their life, such as what would Mary tell her mother, to say nothing of all the relatives and busybodies in her little village that she was pregnant. Would anybody believe a story that began with "an angel told me"? And for Joseph's part, everybody would conclude that he had violated his fiancée's virginity, which in those days would have been a great breach of religious and cultural standards. In fact, if it wasn't for a dream from the Lord, Joseph was making plans to break off the engagement. Instead, he was obedient to the Lord. I wonder if Mary's parents put their arms around her and said, "We love you, honey, and we believe every word you're telling us." Perhaps, just perhaps, even though Scripture doesn't say it, that an angel had to appear to them as well. And is it possible that Mary came to feel very estranged from her family? Not to mention that when Mary gave birth, she was far from home, miles from her family, from her own bed. She had spent the last few days on the crowded streets, and she endured the winter chills. Mary probably had envisioned giving birth at home, mom holding one hand. an aunt holding the other, a midwife, doting relatives, Joseph and a crowd of neighbors waiting outside the door. Perhaps if they could all have experienced the birth of her firstborn together, then they would believe her story. At least that's how I imagine Mary may have felt. Perhaps the feed trough in the stable were Mary's idea. Do you think so? Are there any mothers out there that's given birth that said, I would love to give birth in a barn? Anybody? Nobody. But I don't think Mary did either. I've yet to meet a mother-to-be who dreams of using a cow stall for a delivery room, in a manger for a bassinet, and I doubt Mary did either. I'm sure this is not how she planned to celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know, Joseph probably led the donkey down a path that ended at the mouth of a cave, carved out years before by wind and rain, and used as long as anyone could remember for a barn. He probably lowered Mary off from the back of that donkey, and he probably built a fire and heated some water, and Mary probably began to clear a spot in the straw and set about the task of bringing God into this world. And with barn animals as her witness and Joseph as her midwife, she did just that. And within moments, the hand of the star hanger clutched Mary's finger. The feet of the skywalker lay in Joseph's arms. No wonder the angels filled the sky with worship, and any doubt of the Father's love disappeared the night God was wrapped in barnyard towels so the hay would not scratch his back. In that moment, Mary knew that it was worth it all. The ache in her back, the ache in her heart, they faded away. The questions of how, the wonderings of when, they didn't linger. The inn had no place for her son, but that was all right because he would find a place in people's hearts. She and Joseph were far from home on the night of Jesus' birth, but that was all right too because Jesus was a long way from his home too. And listen, as I talk about all that chaos that surrounded the birth of Christ, in spite of all the chaos, Christ came. Amen. Aren't you thankful? In spite of the chaos, Christ came. Through a scandalous pregnancy, an imposed census, an untimely trip in an overcrowded inn, God triumphed in Mary's story. And the good news is that God desires to triumph in your life too, no matter how filled with chaos it might be. Amen. How many knows as we close this year out and we head into a new year, there may be some chaos that we face. But God wants to triumph, no matter how much chaos may come. You know, most people don't often read the first chapter of Matthew when they read the Christmas story, at least the beginning of it. It has the context of his birth, but Matthew goes into some detail. He opens his gospel with a list of dozens of names. Before he presents the wise men, before he talks about the Star of Bethlehem, he tells us that Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. The list goes on and on for 16 difficult-to-read verses. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon. And when reading this, we tend to want to skip over that part and get to the important parts of Matthew. Who needs to know about Tamar? Who needs to know about Rahab? Who needs to know about Ruth? Why does Matthew mention David and Solomon before he even mentions Joseph and Mary? I believe he's making a point. Chaos cannot keep Christ out of the world. The Messiah was born not because of his ancestors on Joseph's side, but in spite of them. Amen? Tamar was abandoned. Ruth was an immigrant. Rahab was a harlot. David had committed adultery, and Solomon was a womanizer. The family tree of Jesus on Joseph's side was gnarled and crooked. Some of the kings were bloodthirsty and godless. Yet God had promised that Jesus would come, and Jesus came. Amen? Hence the triumphal conclusion of the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Amen. Praise God. In spite of sin and scandal, Christ came. In spite of racism, Christ came. Though the world had forgot God and it was a dark place, Christ still came. In spite of and out of the pandemonium, Christ came. The surprise pregnancy, the sudden senses, the long road from Nazareth to Bethlehem, unpleasant and difficult, yet resulted in the greatest of in the world's miracle. Luke 2 and 7 says, and Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. You know, in our world of sometimes short nights, a lot of hard work, at times high stress, don't you need to know that Jesus holds it all together? Amen. That Jesus holds it all together. You might relate to a car that was once seen driving down the road, the car clattered down the freeway. One door was missing. The hood was dented. It needed painted. And on a loosely hanging bumper was this sticker, honk if anything falls off. Amen. Anybody ever? Maybe you drove a car like that at one time. I'm thankful that God holds it all together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says this in the Message version. It says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up till this moment. Amen. He's in control. He is sovereign. And he's holding it together, and he'll hold it together for you and I. Amen, in our day-to-day. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, no matter what you may face, we need to cling to him. Amen? During life's most difficulties, when others are grumbling beneath their breaths, may you and I be overheard praying and saying, God, you're so good. I need your help, Lord. Encourage me today, please, God. Encourage me today. Amen. And I love this in Psalm chapter 11 that I read to you in the prayer journal of King David. We read this question. In the NCV, it says, when all that is good falls apart, what can good people do? The foundations falling apart and crumbling, he's talking about. David looking around him in his time that he's living, he's talking about the foundations of the world, King Saul was seeking to destroy him. There was evil in the land. There was idolatry in the land. There was things around them that people could look at, and David could look around and say, when all that is good, when all that is righteous falls apart, what can the good people do? What can the righteous do? And isn't David's question ours at times? When all that is good around us seems to be crumbling in this world. You know, we the terrorist attacks and diseases rage and families collapsing. And when all that is good falls apart, what can the righteous do? What is the godly's response to be to the unexpected mishaps in calamities of life. What was David's response to all that he went through? Being on the run, hiding for his life, looking around him and seeing the things around him crumble. Listen, David didn't answer his question with an answer, but he answered the question with a declaration. And what a great declaration this is to close out the new year and start a new one is that the Lord is in his holy temple. Amen. When we look around us and things crumble, our response as believers is to trust God because he is sovereign. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his throne in heaven. Amen. And his eyes go to and fro. He's watching. Sometimes we wonder, God, don't you see all the evil that's taking place? God's well aware. God sees. He sees our hearts. What are we to do? We're to stand in faith on a sovereign God. David's point is unmistakable. When everything shakes, God remains unshaken. No matter how chaotic things appear on this earth, God is not panicked. God is not absent. God is not powerless. He is in his holy temple. His plans will never be derailed. God is unaffected by our storms. He is undeterred by our problems. Amen. He is on the throne today. And we can put his trust, we can put our trust in him. How many remember the story of Jacob's son Joseph in Egypt? How he was thrown into prison and he was innocent. His brothers had sold him out. Potiphar's wife had turned him in and lied about him. If ever a world caved in, Joseph's world caved in, didn't it? Or consider Moses watching the flocks out in the wilderness. Was this what he intended to do for all of his life? Hardly his heart beat with Jewish blood. His passion was to lead the slaves. So why did God have him leading sheep? And think about Daniel. He was amongst the brightest and the best young men of Israel, but he and his entire generation were being marched out of Jerusalem into Babylonian captivity. The city was being destroyed and the temple was in ruins. Think about it. Joseph in prison, Moses out in the desert, Daniel in chains. These were very dark moments. Who could have seen anything good from these moments? Who could have known that Joseph the prisoner was just one promotion from being Joseph the prime minister? Who would have thought that God was giving Moses 40 years out in the wilderness, training in the very desert through which he would lead God's people through? And who could have imagined that Daniel the captive would soon be Daniel the king's counselor? Listen, God has made a business out of turning tragedy into triumph. Aren't you thankful for that? He's made a business out of turning tragedy into triumph. He did it with Joseph. He did it with Moses. He did it with Daniel. And most of all, he did it with Jesus on the cross. With Jesus on the cross. I'm going to invite Keaton to come back to the piano this morning. And God can turn chaos in our lives into victory. Can you say amen? Amen. He did it for Jesus on the cross. The innocent one was slaughtered. Heaven's gift was murdered. Mothers wept. Others danced. And the disciples had to wonder, when all that is good falls apart, what can good people do? Amen. God answered their question with a declaration. With the rumble of the earth and the rolling away of a stone. Amen. He reminded them that day when the resurrection took place and Jesus came forth that the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his throne in heaven. And God is still in his temple. Still on his throne. He's still in control. He still makes princes out of prisoners, counselors out of captives, Sundays out of Fridays, and he still brings beauty out of ashes. He did it then for them, and he does it still for you and I today. Amen. And so may the Lord strengthen you today. Praise God. To live with unwavering confidence in his sovereign care. He cares for you today. He cares for you and I today. Amen. He can take the chaos and work through it, and he can turn it around. Would you bow your heads with me today? Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are a sovereign God. We thank you, Lord, that you're in control of it all. Father, that you hold all things together. We may look around us in this time that we're living and on a global landscape, Lord, we can see serious things taking place. We can see a lot of uneasiness, a lot of unrest, a lot of lack of peace. Lord, it may even cause us to question, Lord, what's going on? What's taking place? Where are you, God, in the midst of all of this? Help us, Lord, to have unwavering faith and trust in your sovereignty today. Lord, that you're holding it all together, that you are the God of the ages, that you are a God that has an ultimate plan. And Lord, as we live in these end times, Lord, we put our trust in a sovereign God. And Lord, we can declare, as David declared so long ago, that, Lord, what can good people do when the foundations crumble around them? Lord, we can declare and stand upon your word that, Lord, you are on your throne in heaven. Lord, that you've got it all together, that your eyes are upon our life, your eyes are upon our family, your eyes are upon our church, your eyes are upon this world. And Lord, we trust you, we trust your plan, we trust, Lord, your sovereignty today. Lord, we love you today, and Father, we worship you today. We thank you, Lord, that you are holding it all together. Lord, I pray, Lord, today for those that are under the sound of my voice, that, Lord, they may be facing uncertainty, they may be facing difficulties, may be facing sickness today, but Lord, help us to be encouraged today that you are holding it all together. Lord, you're still in your temple, and you're still sitting upon your throne, and that your hand is upon our life today. Lord, we love you today. Father, we worship you today. Would you stand with me across this auditorium this morning? And as Keaton leads us in that song once again, can we just worship the Lord, take some time to worship him? And if you've got something today, Pastor was talking about burdens, and we started out our worship today with a song about the foundations of God. You know, the foundations of this world may crumble, but God's foundation will never crumble. Amen. And I'm thankful today that I've built my house upon a strong foundation. Jesus Christ, he is the chief cornerstone. Amen. But you know, there's a lot today that's building on the sand when the winds and the storms of life come, when the winds begin to blow and the rain begins to fall. Their house falls because it wasn't built upon a good foundation. But today, amen, those that trust in the Lord are building upon a good foundation. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And we can worship him with confidence today, knowing that he has his hand upon every situation we face this year, or every situation we're going to face in 2026. So let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Let's take those needs before the Lord together.